And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Let me start off by sending my best wishes and thoughts to Dak Prescott. Here's a guy that's only been a gentleman since he's been in the league, and no matter what his contract situation was, he always showed up for his teammates. A lot of speculation about his contract and what's going to happen. I don't think you can really speculate on it until you see the job that Andy Dalton does. I don't really see any significant change in that offense. Andy Dalton is pretty good. I don't think he's Dak, but he's pretty good. I'm just saying. Hope you had a good night. Hope you have a good night tonight. Take care. Stay safe. Vote.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Well, Kyler's coming home to take on the Cowboys sans Dak. Plus Andy this coming Monday at Jerry World. But can the defense get something going against Coach Bro? And can Andy keep something going on offense? We will find it out on Monday. We shall preview it all here on About Them Cowboys. I'm Kent Garrison, producing as always. Excited to welcome in our panel for this episode. But I gotta let you know that you need to cash in your dollar over at theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys. Get access to The Athletic. Listen to this show ad-free on our app over there as well. And you're going to want to get our coverage because we got a lot coming up next week. Bob Sturm's got his film breakdown, of course, and you're going to want to read John Machota's coverage of Dak's injury that came out this week. It's all excellent stuff, which is par for the course. But let's welcome in our panel. First, I want to welcome in a first-time guest. You might know her from her role for the past, I don't know, decade or so over at DallasCowboys.com. Over on their podcasts, videos, all kinds of stuff. Welcome Taylor Stern to the show. Hey, Taylor.
Hi, Kent. I know, you know, I've worked with you all, but it seems like it has been decades, and especially 2020 has been about three decades. So, you know, we're just getting to the century mark very quickly. So thank you for having me.
Of course.
I love to see your faces because I haven't seen you guys in, you know, 8 months.
I know. We're all used to be buddies. We all used to hang around the locker room. And remember Open Locker Room, by the way? That was a time. But yes, it's good to have you. It's a long time coming. I know you've got a lot to say about this team. And yeah, we're going to get it going here pretty soon. But let's welcome in, from The Athletic, Father John Machota, and from The Ben and Skin Show, Kevin KT Fun Tweets Turner. Hey, guys. Welcome back. Time to talk Cardinals.
Thank you very much, Kent. I appreciate it. And thank you, Taylor, for joining us. Good to see you again. And, John, it's Wednesday when we're recording this, so we're way ahead of the game. I'll start with you, and then Taylor, I'd like to hear you. Are you guys 48 to 72 hours after the terrible thing that happened on Sunday? Are you guys feeling just a little better? Like, I know we're all feeling, like, bad for Dak and everything, but, like, outlook on the team and the season, are feeling any better, or where are you at on that?
I mean, I feel bad for him, obviously.
Of course.
But in terms of, like, the team, I really don't feel that much different about the team than I did a week ago. I don't buy that the defense, what they did against the Giants, is just what we're going to see from here on out. And if the defense isn't better, then it really doesn't matter. Like, I do think, like, okay, so with Dak, I would say I could still see them winning maybe 9 games this year, 10, something like that. With Andy Dalton, I can see them winning 7 or 8, and that might be good enough to win the division. So I haven't, in terms of the team, it hasn't changed a lot for me. I think that they're good enough to make the playoffs and probably lose their first game in the playoffs, unless the defense gets considerably better between now and at the end of the year. But, I mean, yeah, for Dak, though, I just, oh, man, that's one of the most stunning things that I've ever seen. And not to say that, like, because I've seen, like, I was watching that Louisville game when Kevin Ware's bone came out of his leg, and I've seen that Paul George injury and things like that, but I guess because of Dak and thinking that, hey, this guy carried the ball like 15 times a game in college, and He's built like a linebacker. Like, he's never going to get hurt. And if he does, it'll be something he can play through, like last year with the shoulder. And then just to see everything like in a split second, boom, done for the season. And then you start factoring his contract and all that. Like, that's still heavily on my mind. I don't know if that's going to go away for another couple of weeks. But in terms of the team, like, I don't see any like drastic, you know, differences there.
Yes. I mean, yeah, that was a gruesome injury. And you're right, John. I think we've all kind of seen those bad injuries through the years that you're just like, I wish I hadn't seen that. But I think the emotion from Dak was really, it resonated with a lot of people where it felt like, oh my gosh, this is not a normal injury for this guy. Because you're right, last year when he was dealing with the shoulder, you know, you saw him kind of suffering through it, but it was almost like he was just playing through it no matter what. And then when he was just bawling his eyeballs out and you see the entire benches clear to come over and, you know, say goodbye to him, that's a hard image to forget, hard moment to forget, especially when it's such a passionate game with Garrett on the other sideline, Tony Romo calling the game. It felt pretty impactful. And so I think it will take a little bit until we're all kind of recovered from that. Now, for the team, though, I think this is the best week for them to have a Monday night football game. You get an extra day. Kind of an extra day to recoup. The big thing that I am worried about, though, is that Dak was having such good connection with the different wide receivers because he had been doing so much of the work in the offseason with them. So I'm curious how Andy's going to kind of step in there and, you know, relate to these receivers. I'm sure he's been working with them a lot during practice this week, but it's just something that, like, I felt like Dak, you know, CeeDee and him were really connected from this jump. So I'm curious to see that. And then the other thing is this defense going to be okay? Are they missing too many key pieces now? You know, you don't have Layton, you don't have Sean. Like, I know some of these guys are coming back off of IR eventually, but it's like, do you have enough guys on that defense to maintain? And will they establish the run early and not just in the second half?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Taylor. Now, I want to go back to Andy Dalton in a second, but I'm glad you talked defense. John, can you kind of update us on possible defensive reinforcements this week?
Yeah, they could be getting back several guys actually. It looks like there's a decent chance that Layton could come back. He was doing some stuff in practice the previous week. It seems like, you know, this is kind of pushing it. It could be kind of early, but they has not been ruled out for this game, and I think that would be your most important piece that you could be getting back there. There's also Cheeto is still working his way back, so there's some help there, but the big problem is that you're not getting help at defensive tackle, and that's what I think has become like the weakest spot. I mean, obviously safety is always going to be there. We're going to talk about how weak safety is until my final year covering this team, so I just pass it along. So when you got Stephen Parker playing 20 whatever snaps in that game, but anyway, but defensive tackle, that's where like they need the help right now, and I don't see a lot of help coming there. So that's a problem. Offensively, they could be getting back Cameron Irving, but even with him coming back, I don't know if that changes their plan with Terrence Steele at right tackle. I really think that they want to try and build this chemistry with that group that they've been starting, because that's what McCarthy keeps hammering home is the chemistry, and on the offensive line. And I just think that they're going to keep going with him, and unless it's an emergency situation, because like before the game started on Sunday, you know, I like to watch what they do in the pregame warm-up stuff, like about 15 minutes before the game starts, because usually they're going to line up with what they're going to roll with in the game. And so Terrence Steele was the first team right tackle for like the first three plays that they did. And then he came out and Greg Sinnott went in, who is a guy that they added recently. But it just, you could tell what they were doing is they were like, hey, if this goes badly like it did against the Browns, we're going to move in somebody else. We're not just going to keep going with Steele. And so he held up all right, so they stayed with him. So I'm wondering if Cameron Irving will kind of work in there too, where it's like, hey, if this thing starts falling apart, Cam, you got to go in there. But I don't think that they look at him as like going to be this significant upgrade either. So this is pretty much what you got here on the offensive line.
Yeah, and I can tell you from my experience from following the Packers – That is a huge thing. I mean, for years of TJ Lang and it's Josh Sitton and those guys, they're like, okay, we're going to keep these guys in there and we're not going to move anyone if we can. And if our left tackle is a weak link, let's just try to keep these five guys together. And one guy goes down, we have four of them. So I understand what he's going for. He's trying to get cohesion and all that stuff, and I do think that matters to an extent.
It does, but I'm real interested on the whole Zach Martin thing. Like, does Zach Martin not want to play right tackle? Because Zach Martin is a better right tackle than any of the tackles that they have on the team. Like, if you were like, who are the best tackles on the Cowboys roster, including the guys that are on IR, I'd be like, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin. So if he's staying in there, clearly you know that you're not getting any tackle help. Like, I don't want to get too far off on this, but, like, you know, with the trade deadline coming up, like, people are like, hey, should they trade for a tackle? Should they trade for this? Like, they're not trading for anybody. They don't have anything to trade, and they're not giving up draft picks because they need those draft picks. So that's going to be how they fill out this roster after they pay Dak. So they're not getting any major help there. Here, what you have is what you're going to have for the rest of the season. So Zach Martin, I feel like, should be their starting right tackle, but maybe he doesn't want to play right tackle and just feels more comfortable at guard, and so that's why they're leaving him there.
Well, and the only reason I say this is because he's the most veteran guy in that room. I mean, I feel like he has the say to do what he wants to do, and they would let him do that. So maybe you're exactly right.
And also, there are teams and coaching staffs that do value interior offensive linemen more than the tackles, like really investing at the guard position. So maybe that's part of it. I can't help but think about the idea. And again, I'm with you, John. I don't want to go down this path too far, but I can't help but think about Connor Williams. History playing tackle at Texas, and think about third-round pick Connor McGovern from 2 years ago. I can't help but wonder if he could help you at some point, and my gut would be no if you're running Terrence Steele out there at right tackle. That tells me they don't think Connor McGovern can help them. It is me.
Yeah,
and wasn't it fun when this O-line was just consistent throughout a season? Weren't those good days?
2020 has taught us to not take things for granted, hasn't it?
Yeah. They were good days, but I'll tell you what would be kind of wild is if this team does win 9 or 10 games and wins the division, hosts a playoff game, because then you could really make the argument. You're like, is the offensive line really that worth it? Because I've seen this team spend first-round pick after first-round pick after first-round pick, and they never really – like, that's the thing. Like, while it was great at that time, like, what do they really – because here's my thing, and I've said it on here before. Like, we're talking Tyron Smith and Zach Martin – like Ring of Honor guys. Travis Frederick, if he kept playing, was Ring of Honor guys. And you're like looking at it, you're like, they didn't, it's not like they made like a Super Bowl run in any of those years, you know? I mean, so I don't know. And I can see like a little bit of that transition starting right now. The days are gone drafting those first round picks like that.
Yeah, I wonder what Witten would have to say to that, you know, because he's seen a lot of these Cowboys teams back in the day. Like, where would he stand on that?
Well, I'm sure he'd want the best offensive line. I mean, obviously that helps him as well. But I'm saying, like, for me personally, I just feel like if you're asking me the difference between if I have to invest in one line, I'm investing in the defensive line.
Yeah, no, and I think they've shown that they're willing to do that. Just, you know, they just got to hit on some of these guys as well. And look, Tristan Hill was improving. You know, that was a tough one that got covered up. You know, out for the season with a torn ACL. What you said though a minute ago about they win 9 to 10 games, and that seems crazy, but I want to tell you why I've got a little, maybe I'm a little rejuvenated today. I was just kind of goofing off this morning.
I think it's because you're drinking.
No. I wasn't drinking this morning when I found all this stuff out. Oh, okay. I'm drinking now because I had another obligation that I had to do that involved drinking.
I didn't even know that you were really drinking, but that's nice.
So I'm not Nah, we don't have to go that road.
No, let's do that. No.
Well, I did a FC Dallas virtual happy hour, you know, because they play tonight. And see, I'm wearing my jersey.
Oh, I see.
It's got my name on the back of the jersey, but it's brought to you by Heineken. So they yesterday I got home from work.
Sponsored.
Yesterday I got home from work and there were 48, I'm not joking, 48 bottles of Heineken right outside my apartment door. And I cannot believe that my neighbors didn't just steal them.
They ever let you drink on that happy hour show, Taylor?
I mean, we had little coffee cups that looked like coffee cups, but there was other things inside of them.
I mean, it says happy hour, so.
Yeah, but, you know, we'd be sitting there and me and KT would be like, can you bring our coffee? And, you know, we had some things worked out.
I needed a drink the night that Rayfield Wright was the guest. He was coming at me hard.
My favorite story.
He was grilling me. But that's neither here nor there. Here's why, and I want you guys to understand, I understand this is a small sample size stats coming at you, okay? But this is important to me. The Cowboys, their opponents are 13-12 this year, and the Cowboys are 2-3. Okay, Small sample size, I know. Let's go to the undefeateds in the NFL real quick. Would you like to take a look at this with me? How about this? The Seattle Seahawks are 5-0. Their opponents are 7-17. The Packers are 4-0. Their opponents are 4-14. The Steelers are 4-0. Their opponents are 3-15-1. The Titans are 4-0. Their opponents are 7-13. If that doesn't tell you that this baby's wide open, I don't know what does. And we already know about the division. We don't have to talk about the Washington football team, the Eagles, or the Giants. We don't have to talk about them. We know what they are. I'm not sure that I know what Arizona is. And Arizona's got a better record than we do right now at 3-2. But I really am not sure what they are yet. They got a win in week one over San Francisco, who is a mess right now. Got beat 43-17 to the Dolphins last week. The 49ers are hurt and are a mess. They beat Washington and they beat the Jets. I think we know how we feel about those teams. Their losses came to the Lions, John, and the Panthers. I mean, the Cardinals feel very 7-9 and 8-8 to me. And I know it's early, but I sit here and on Monday, my attitude on all of this would have been different. Wednesday morning, I start going, you know what? Game coming up on Monday. The Cardinals cannot cover anybody. And
neither can the Cowboys.
Well, neither can the Cowboys, but, you know, take your chances, right? I'm not as doom and gloom as maybe I was. I was looking at the next three games. If you go win on Monday night, get to 500, and then you've got, you know, a couple of division games with Philly and Washington coming right up, it's got a little chance here to maybe get a little positivity going. And I know there's a lot of people
who are optimistic guy.
There's a lot of people are going to be like rolling their eyes, and I'm like, well, hey, can we just have a little bit of cheer in a global pandemic? Can we just have a little bit of cheer? I feel way better about things than I did on Monday. That's all I'm trying to get at. Is anyone with me?
I mean,
am I the only one?
Yeah, you might be the only one.
Oh, no.
Because here's the thing. I mean, you just said it. Like, all these teams that you said were still undefeated – the one thing that I keep thinking of is, like, they were all intact from the year before. I think any team that is starting with a newer head coach or has a lot of new key pieces in their roster, they're struggling. And the fact of the matter is it's just what you said. It's a global pandemic year. You're in these oddball situations. Every week now, it seems like, oh, yeah, the Thursday night game got moved to Monday, and now there's Tuesday night football, and then one day there is going to be Wednesday night football, and you're going to have, you know, a triple header where they start at noon to watch during the lunch hour. And it's like, I just can't take it as seriously, unfortunately, because I don't know what to hold on hope for. Like, what am I getting excited for? And it's a mess because there's so many injuries. And I'm not going to say that there's so many injuries because there wasn't a full offseason. I don't think that's necessarily the truth. But I do think it's really, really challenging to play a football season this year, whether you're watching it or whether you're playing in it, to have the true, I guess, normalcy.
Buy-in. Yeah. It's
buy-in.
Different. It's a different landscape, you know, and what'll be interesting for me is to see how, you know, guys like Justin Herbert adjust to a regular season next year. You know, some of these rookies coming in, you know, you're coming into a situation with no preseason games, pretty laxed off season in terms of the offense, the off season program, in terms of rookie mini camp, in terms of training camp, you know, 3-a-days, things like that. So I'll be interested to see like how some of these rookies that are doing really well adjust to like a regular season, you know, playing games in full stadiums at Arrowhead and things like that. So it's going to be an interesting, hopefully next year when things are back to normal, hopefully if they are back to normal. But in terms of this year, man, what a statement win it would be Monday night if they beat the Cardinals and Kyler Murray and this high-powered, you know, DeAndre Hopkins offense, given what the Cowboys have and what the storyline's been for the past couple weeks with the Cowboys. I think it would be a huge statement win. I'm not saying I'm predicting it, but I think it would do a ton for the confidence of this team if they could pull out a win on Monday.
Well, I was just saying this too. I know John's.
I don't think the Cardinals are really that good, to be honest with you.
No, they're not.
Like
they're not.
When the Lions can come in your house and beat you, like, I'm really like,
okay, maybe. You're Detroit bias. You're Detroit bias there.
I mean,
I see it.
I just know they're not good, and if they can beat the Cardinals, then I can't sit there and look. I'm like, ah, I don't know how you beat this team or something. Like, it's red hot Aaron Rodgers coming in here or something. Like, I mean, they're going to score a lot of points, but so are the Cowboys. Like, I just think it's going to be a really high scoring game. I think it's going to be just like the first five games where it's going to come down to the very end. The last couple of drives, it's, I mean, I could see it being in like the high 30s. Like, I just don't think that, I don't think that the Cowboys defense has all of a sudden gotten that much better. Even though I will say that last game, that's the best I've seen Jalen Smith play this season. That's the best I've seen DeMarcus Lawrence play this season. So those are obviously positive signs. But when do we get the game when DeMarcus Lawrence plays well and Everson Griffin plays well and Alden Smith plays well and Jalen Smith plays well and, you know, maybe it, when somebody on the back end gets an interception, you know, like when does that happen? Then that's when you
That's the really... December Giants game, like okay. when they just pull out a random NFC East win.
Right, right. So I don't know. I just don't look at the Cardinals like I know. See, what you know what kind of affected things is that they beat the 49ers early on, right? That's what it was like. And then like a lot of people got on that believing like that the Cardinals are for real and all that. I just don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll be that big of a win if they beat them. Like if all of a sudden they, like they were playing Monday night against Seattle or Green Bay.
What if it's a statement win though? What if it's like a just blowout? Like it's 41-14 Cowboys.
Yeah. For me, it really depends on what the defense looks like. Cause on the offense, like, I guess I don't know, like, I'm not going to say I'm in the minority because I feel like some people believe in Andy Dalton. I don't think Andy Dalton is going to be that bad at all. I really don't. He's got plenty of experience playing behind bad offensive lines. And when he did have a lot of weapons, when he had, you know, Marvin Jones and A.J. Green early in his career, Mohamed Sanu, and that, like, I think that's who they had his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tyler Eifert was still good. Like, when he had those weapons... I thought he played well. I talked to Bruce Gregkowski. He works for Pro Football Focus. So he was the backup on those teams. And so I'm writing about this, about Andy Dalton for tomorrow. And like, he was even saying, like, he said to me two different times, he goes, I think the offense might look better with Andy Dalton. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous to say that, but it's because people think that there's going to be more balance on it. And so like, he's not going to put up the numbers that Dak did those first 5 weeks. I mean, those were like ridiculous numbers. Like, he's not going to do that. But they're still going to put up points. I mean, there's tons of talent on this team. They're just going to have to do it in a different way. It's the defense. That'll be the thing. If they shut down Kyler Murray, they shut down those receivers, Andy Isabella, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk. They shut all those guys down, and they hold them to, like, you know, 14 points or something like that. I would be, really impressed. I don't see that happening.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is where, though, my sunshine was coming in here. This division, you probably don't have to go win 9 games. There's a chance you can get through this at 7 or 8 wins, which sounds nuts. And now, I don't want to go down the road of playoff bubble, but you could be talking about playing at home all playoffs long, possibly, maybe not. But well, that's more down the road. I do think there's a couple things that Arizona will give you. Arizona leads the league in stalled drives. They've had 15 stalled drives. They will punch themselves in the face in the middle of a drive more than any other team in the league. Now, I will say this. Cliff Kingsbury is 17 for 24 on fourth down since he's been the coach. A lot of times they're going for it. It's fourth and three. Just stay on the field, everyone. But to me, a couple things, and these are, trust me, I know I'm flipping a penny into a wishing well. Trust me. Like, a new scheme, I've always been a believer when you're redoing the defense and giving that thing a fair amount of time. I do not believe there's a full amount of talent on this team to make this defense even, you know, top half of the league. Top 20, maybe. Does that get you by with this offense? It might. With Andy Dalton, I'm not worried about him as much as I am worried about, well, did the offensive line get him killed and that caused a ball to go up in the air or a fumble? I'm more worried about those types of things. But I saw this. I do not think the Cowboys are better, you know, without Dak. I don't think anyone does. But I heard Booger McFarland and Tony Dungy both kind of echo the same thing. They're like, well, now this team will go back to their identity. And their identity is give the ball to Zeke. And I just got to tell you, man, I just don't think that should be their identity. And I don't think it is. Because, look, it worked for a little bit when Dak got hurt and you were kind of running down the Giants' throat. But, dude, if this team can't get ahead, that doesn't work. If they're playing from behind at all times, that does not work. But if they're ahead and they're able to go to that in the second half, I'm all about that. But they need to come out and fling it all over the field because the Cardinals can't cover. And I thought you had a tweet, John, that was magnificent, and it was from Patrick Peterson, who was on some podcast that I would like to give credit to, but I don't know where it was. It's on your Twitter. And Patrick Peterson, as I'm paraphrasing here, your tweet that I read earlier, Patrick Peterson is basically respecting the crap out of Andy Dalton. He's sitting there like saying that he could be a starter in this league. So I just think
But that quote, though, the way that that's what you took from it is funny to me because that's not like what the headline was on it. It was the first part of that quote where it said, we have to make Andy Dalton beat us. We got to stop the run. And so that was where it started. And then that was, but
AT is Mr. Glass half full today.
No, but I'm just saying,
you can't tell him anything.
That's why, like, a lot of times, like,
you can see the sunshine.
I don't like just keeping like a quote in a tweet because sometimes it leaves out everything. And so people were tweeting it just like that. And I was like, well, let me go listen to this. And so I listened to the whole thing so that, I mean, you get the whole scope of it. That obviously, like, he thinks a lot of Andy Dalton. And what he said is not, it's not wrong. That's what every team's going to do, you know? Teams said that for the last 3 years about Dak. They're like, well, we have to let, Dak has to be willing to beat us because, frankly, with that offensive line that they had in previous years in Ezekiel Elliott, that's obviously you don't want that to get going because once that gets going, you can't do anything. Then it's downhill. You can't beat a team if they're just running all over. We've seen that this year with this Cowboys. I mean, you can't beat the Browns. I don't care what goes on if you're letting them run for 307 yards. You know, if a team gets running like that, you know, like that playoff game against the Rams where they had two backs over 100 yards, you just can't do anything about it. It's game over. So he wasn't, I don't think he was taking a shot, but you're right, he did. And I think it was called, like, All Things Covered. It's his podcast. It's him and Brian McFadden. I think they do it once a week or something like that. So, yeah, that's what it was on.
Yeah, and I think you named off a ton of guys, KT, that have never played in AT&T Stadium as a Cardinal. Now, they have played at AT&T Stadium many times in the college level, Cliff and, of course, Kyler, and DeAndre played here when he was at the Texans, but, like, I think that there is an interesting mindset that I've seen a lot of teams have before where they're like, hey, we're coming to AT&T Stadium. We're playing prime time. Cardinals don't have a ton of prime time games, and they might get revved up for it. And I think I'm interested to see. I think there was a lot of emotion with the Cowboys in the second half on the defense, on the offense. Can they carry that emotion positively this week, or does it actually hit them negatively now? You know, where they're so caught up in it. I don't know. You know, I'm really curious to see what they'll do pregame wise for that. Like, does Dak call in, you know, give a little pep talk? Could totally see him doing that.
Zoom him in.
Or Zoom. Hey, if Saban is zooming into practice now, Dak can be there. I don't really mean that. Dak, rest up.
Think of you saying AT&T Stadium real quick. I just got to mention this. Obviously, it's going to be a night game, so this won't be a factor, but this past game, as they've run into the problems with the sun, check this out. This is really good. So Joe Judge does, and it's like every Monday after their game, he does like a show on their team's website. It's like 15 minutes where he looks back at three different plays and breaks them down. and it was good. I mean, it was like really detailed. Like I got done watching the one from the him reviewing the Cowboys game, and I went back and started watching the one from their week one opponent. I'm going to watch every one that he does. He's really detailed. And he broke down on one of the special teams plays, a kickoff to Tony Pollard, and talked about how everybody lined up, where they were going to go and everything, and how the kicker was kicking in this one area, like where the sun was, so it would take Tony Pollard a half a second more to like kind of have to gather himself. And sure enough, the guy kicks it off like right in, there are certain areas in the end zone that there was sun at. I was just like, there's just like little things like that that I wouldn't even think of. But with AT&T Stadium being like that, and it is crazy on that field during those games. It doesn't seem like on what I think is one of, if not the best stadiums in sports, that there are those issues. But it's wild that coaches will find any of that stuff.
Dude, it's a huge flaw that stadium, like I've grown to dislike the 325 home game.
Yeah.
Because I just don't.
And they play in it a lot because of the team that they are.
Yes. And I don't think games need to be. Have any, like, that shouldn't impact the game at all, and it does. It's amazing that you built that thing, that stadium, the way you built it, and you have that huge flaw.
Yeah, no one thought of it.
No one thought of it.
Oh, it's not really, no. I don't think it's
just put the stadium out there, and then they got out there one afternoon, they're like, wait, the sun kind of comes in that window. Oh, well.
Oh, I don't think it's a flaw, though. I wouldn't call it a flaw. There's a way around. I mean, they've had basketball games there where they put up the curtains. They can put those curtains up. They just don't want to do it.
They say it's part of the aesthetic of the stadium, right. And they refuse to admit that they were wrong in how they designed it for Cowboys games. You know?
And they have to leave them open now because they have to have those doors open so they can call it an outdoor game.
Right.
Because like as you're seeing in New Orleans where they're not going to, I don't know what the latest is with that, but they were going to talk about playing in Baton Rouge, the Saints were. But they have to have those doors open to be able to allow to have games there. So it's technically an outdoor. So like the sun's definitely going to be there.
Doors open all season long.
All season long. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting when, like, if it gets really cold out, because the rain hasn't been, they haven't had that issue, but it was like 97, during the
Sunday.
So obviously that, the AC bill is probably ridiculous, but I mean, I'm not paying it. So
yeah, they have a sponsor for that.
yeah, they're fine on sponsors.
No, I think doors, seriously, I think the doors have to, they've been open for every game up to this point. I think they have to be open for all games for the rest
of the
season.
It's funny. Yeah, you're right, John. That is, you go to a concert there, the Final Four or something, and those curtains are up. But
oh my God, if those curtains wouldn't have been up during those Final Four games?
Yeah, that the fourth quarter, I don't know how many times we'd talk to Jason Witten or Dez after a game, and they would mention that the sun was in their eyes, but I'm not going to make excuses. That's what they would say. See how sun was in my eyes, but that's no excuse.
Like, Hellman has been to so many Kenny Chesney concerts there, and they've definitely put up the curtains there. Like Dave just tells me, if he can't see Kenny, he has an issue, and so he's always just requesting.
Yeah, if it means making Vince McMahon happy, we're going to put up the curtains.
But I don't think it's Kenny Chesney.
Giving our team an advantage on Sundays.
No, it's Taylor Swift. It's Taylor Swift.
It's Kenny Chesney. I know Dave's got that "she thinks my tractor sexy" tattoo, and I saw it.
He's so obsessed with that. Yeah. It was after an LSU win, and Katie and I, we talked him into like 4 El Chapos, wasn't it?
Tattoo is doing it lightly. I would say back piece.
Yeah,
that's what the back piece. Yeah,
yeah.
Full John Deere. He's got that cowboy hat on. That's amazing. A little straw hat.
It's a mural. It's an absolute mural masterpiece.
You said we did 4 El Chapos.
That's not a lie for sometimes with Dave. Like, but see, Dave's the kind of guy who's like, every time he sees the sun, he says something negative. Like, we already know this. It's been established. But like, Dave's the kind of guy who's like, hey guys, sun's back. It's like, yeah, it comes up every day, Dave. Like, thanks.
He's a sinner. Taylor's the kind of girl that'll bring Dave right back down to earth too. They have that kind of relationship. Yeah.
LSU wanted to for the first time since 1994. What?
Oh man, that is tough.
Small sample size stat again. Can I throw that out there? Because you're talking about the stadiums and stuff. Arizona 3-0 this year in empty stadiums with no fans. 0-2 in stadiums that had an attendance. Granted, one of them only had 750 people in Detroit, but still, 0-2 with people. That's small sample size stat to throw out there. Cowboys are winning Monday night.
I think it's interesting that Mike McCarthy mentioned, and we've seen these offensive numbers for all the teams are really up this year, other than the New York Giants, but unless when they play the Cowboys. Yeah. But he was saying that it just makes it a lot easier on the communication because you're playing in these stadiums that have no fans or fewer fans. So it's the communication is just so much smoother on offense, and that's why I think that it's probably contributed to Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow making such an easy transition. And I shouldn't say easy, but a smoother transition than you'd normally think from the high drafted quarterbacks.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I just got a conspiracy theory up in my head really quickly about Dak and quarterbacks. Kent and I did just a small little thing, documentary, where we discussed that Dak has always, when he's replaced a quarterback from injury, he has taken over as starter and they've never started another game. But we've never seen what happens when it's the reverse. You know? Mm-hmm. Now we won't get to see it this season, obviously, because he's out for the season. But is there a controversial storyline that Andy Dalton is their man? Do we predict that today on October 14th, 2020, there's going to be an Andy Dalton versus Dak Prescott debate?
Let me and then I want to throw out a conspiracy theory too, that if we're going to go this far. What if Andy Dalton saves Dak Prescott's job because he's going to be good enough to win 7 or 8 games, where if they would have had Cooper Rush as the backup, they might have been so terrible they didn't win any more games, and the Cowboys have the first overall pick. And if you get a chance to draft Trevor Lawrence, I don't know how you're not doing that.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. And when the Colts had the number one overall pick with Peyton Manning, who clearly still had plenty of gas left in the tank considering the numbers he put up in Denver and then went on to win a Super Bowl, they still took Andrew Luck, because when you're put in that situation, now granted, you have to be super terrible. Like, they probably wouldn't be able to win another game to get in Trevor Lawrence. But I'm saying, John, I don't know that that happens if, but with Andy Dalton, there's no way they're going to be anywhere close to getting one of those elite draft picks where you'd even think about that. So, obviously, I don't think that there's any, I shouldn't say anyway, but I'm very confident. As long as Dak heals up and gets back to where he was before, he's going to be their franchise quarterback. And that might even mean franchise tag again this for a second season, but like, if you ask me right now who's going to be the Cowboys quarterback 5 years from now, I feel pretty confident it's going to still be Dak Prescott.
Yeah, John, I was looking at Pro Football Football Outsiders the other day, and right now they have the Cowboys as a 17% chance to get a top 5 pick where they're away they're currently going, and then even less of a percent to have the number 1 pick. So I wouldn't, I don't know, just for the listener out there, I wouldn't get too hyped up about the Trevor Lawrence possibility. But here's a question for you. What if, I mean, this is crazy scenario, all-time crazy scenario, but what if the Cowboys have go full Nick Foles this season and win the Super Bowl with Andy Dalton? Then what kind of position does that put him in?
That's what I'm saying, Kent.
Yeah, no.
And I love Dak.
Yeah. If something like that happened, then you'd have to revisit everything because, I mean, since I've covered the team, the thing I've been most wrong about that I will admit to, like, even going up to the start right before the game, I was so convinced that Tony was getting the job back as soon as he was healthy enough. I was stunned that Jason Garrett stuck with Dak Prescott. That only had to do with myself being around Jason Garrett, covering Jason Garrett, walk-offs, everything. I was like, I don't care what anybody says. They can say, the organization say what they want. They're going back to Tony. I guarantee you Tony gets the job back. I don't care how many games they win. And that shows you, when you start winning, that things change quickly. And the thing about Philly is, if you want to take it away from the Cowboys, just think about if it was the same situation in Philadelphia where they hadn't signed Carson Wentz. You know, he was obviously on an MVP type level that season before he got hurt. If they had not signed him at that point, do they sit there and let Nick Foles go? Their hand was forced because they had already given Carson Wentz a new contract. So he was going to be their guy. But I mean, Nick Foles just took you to a Super Bowl. I mean, there is something to be said for that. Now, I mean, if Andy Dalton takes him to a Super Bowl, then yeah, things could change. I just don't see it happening.
What did Tony say? Football is a meritocracy. You know, that's what I always say.
Hey, you want my thoughts? I'm glad you brought that up, because you know what my thoughts are on that, and they've always been it since the day he said that. I believe that that was a shot at Jason Garrett, because Jason Garrett used to always say that. Because at that time, him and Jason weren't good at all.
It was.
Jason and him were not good at all. You know, you go from going to all the Duke games, always seeing each other together and that. I've always believed that that was a shot at Jason Garrett, because Jason Garrett would always say
it
that.
It would be like if Kent made a video and the first scene was like, let's not fight. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I did a video on that that Romo speech. I remember that.
Yeah.
Gosh,
the worst press conference of all time.
That was so weird.
It was a poem reading.
Immature thing I've ever seen.
No one knew what was going to happen. And literally Tony walks in, stands on the podium, because the way the Cowboys put it out there and PR said, all right, Tony Romo's having a press conference at 3:00.
Because they didn't know.
Okay, cool. We didn't know what it was about. We thought he hasn't talked all year because he's been hurt. They're finally letting us talk to him, but they're putting him on the podium because they want it to be on TV or whatever, you know. So that made sense. So we went out there, like, fully expecting it to be normal. And then, you know, Tony walks up there, and then David Moore starts going, Tony, can you? And he cuts him off, and he's like, hold on, Dave, let me say something real quick. Remember that?
Well, and, I think it's interesting to bring that up.
What is happening?
That's interesting
like
to bring that up.
Like, you won the Academy Award.
For me covering this team, I started covering them in 2011, and my top 4 or 5 memories of covering this team are all negative things. It's the Dez catch. It's the Odell Beckham catch. It's that Tony Romo speech. It's Dak's injury. And it's probably Dez in the locker room saying, fix this shit, Rich. I mean, those are like, so can this team win something?
That was that year. Wow.
Can this team make a Super Bowl run so that I can have some positive memories? Because those are probably my 5 most memorable moments covering the team.
That was my first year on the, like, working for the Cowboys, and they were coming off the 2014 season, and so everyone was like, y'all, just get ready. Like, this is a Super Bowl team. They, you know, that did Dez catch it? I don't know, but, like, this is a team that's coming hot. So
it
I'm
doesn't
like,
matter,
okay.
We're coming for it, yeah.
Yeah, like,
Brandon
I was like,
Whedon?
The training camp was wild. Like, every celebrity possible shows up that training camp because they're like, the 90s are back, baby. And then we go into that season, and I was like, this is god awful. Like, is this how it has to happen? And me and Kent, you know, Kent saved my life one time in New York. That's another story.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a bad year.
We went up to New York for Matt Cassel's debut, remember? In New York. Oh my gosh, what a blur 2015 was. But,
yeah, I don't think that anybody should think, like, because of how bad Matt Cassel and Brandon Whedon were, and even Mark Sanchez, that I just get the feeling, and maybe it's just from listening to the radio and being on Twitter, that people are thinking that Andy Dalton's going to be like that. Like, I'm telling you, Andy Dalton's going to be a lot better than those guys.
He's gonna
like,
be
it's not going to be like that. And I understand those are, like, memories that are fresh in people's minds because, hey, let's be honest, the backup quarterback spot hasn't been something that they've spent on a lot in a long time, but... Hey, one more conspiracy theory. Not conspiracy, but just a random thought that people probably aren't going to like, but I don't care. How about the fact that, like, with the Dak injury, that they didn't pay him, and then this is the one year they did get a backup quarterback. Like, the Cowboys are getting zero credit for that, and it really, like... Yeah, they're completely lucky. Like
every quarterback thing ever with them, they're lucky.
It really is. No, seriously, that's what I'm saying. Like whether it's Romo as an undrafted guy, Dak late in the fourth round, like, the one year... Like, seriously, like, Taylor, since you've been around the team, like, who's the best backup quarterback that you can remember outside? I mean, were you around for
Kellen,
Kyle Orton?
Kellen. Okay. Kellen was the backup.
That's insane.
No way.
That Kellen breaking his ankle is what.
Right.
I mean, everything came full circle.
Kyle Orton was pretty good.
Kyle was fine.
John Kitna was probably the best.
Yeah.
Kitna was fine. You can find guys who are fine if you try. If you don't try, you have Cooper Rush. They didn't try. Like, they didn't want to do it. And it's quite frankly, it's negligent is what it is. And you've seen them be negligent about multiple positions. The safety position.
Wow. But Mark Sanchez enters the chat.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, Mark was important. Mark was important. You know, the reason, though, and this is not about 2016. God knows it's not about 2016. But Tony gets that job back if that's what the locker room wanted. The locker room is looking around going, man, this guy is awesome, and we've won 10 in a row. Why would we go back to Tony?
Like, I remember.
Let's lose a couple games first, and then maybe we'll talk about it. But, like, everyone, man, I had a player. I won't say who it is. Like, say it in person. He during our radio show, say it. Like, yeah, we'll just probably go with we'll just keep that. We don't need to make a change.
I remember.
We're good.
It was, I think it was after the Cleveland game when Dak, I think there was a rumor maybe that week where it was like, okay, if Dak loses this game, this is a perfect time to bring Tony back. You know, he's coming off the injury and you know, they can make a really big run. Yeah, it was before the Pittsburgh game, I think. It was like, wasn't it after Cleveland, before Pittsburgh, something like that.
Yes.
And I remember Dez was asked and you know, what do you think about Tony coming back? And Dez said, literally, we know who our leader is, and it's number four. And like, when somebody like Dez Bryant at that point fully endorses this guy, you know, Dez fully could have said like, yeah, he's playing really well, but Tony's our leader and all that. Like, they had the locker room. So I think the locker room would have revolted had they gone back to Tony. But here's a question for you guys. Do you think Tony texted or called Dak after the game on Sunday?
Yes.
1,000%.
So? Yes. He texted him. No doubt.
Yeah.
I think he texted him too. Yeah.
No doubt.
I don't know about a call.
I think Dak is just catching up. Hey, maybe.
I think Tony's beef is with Jason. It's not with Dak.
Kent doesn't think he did. That's why he's bringing this up.
No, I was just wondering. I think it occurred to me because Tony was at the game, and it's such a – I mean, that's the person that took your job out there on the ground, on the field. I mean,
Oh, yeah, I don't think he cares about
the irony of the whole situation. It just occurred to me. I was like, I wonder if they're going to talk after this game is over about just how crazy this all is, you know. And
well, I think that Tony would like to play longer than he did. And obviously, he would like to have won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys.
Here's a question.
I don't think he's too upset about his current position.
Do you think? Oh, he's not upset about that. But he's thrilled. Think there was even an ounce of a 1% of a thought in Tony's head when he saw him down on the ground?
No.
It's like, hey, nope. Jerry,
no.
I'm walking down
the
there.
Stuff I've
Tony's
heard about
so
how he,
pumped.
The stuff I've heard, like him say about how much stuff he needs done on his back on a day-to-day basis just to be able to play golf. No, he wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah, he didn't even. But you know who I bet was an interesting person to text or contact Dak was Garrett. I bet Garrett sent him the longest heartfelt text, you know, you're a fighter, like everything. He probably heard from Mullins, like immediately, mm-hmm. Witten immediately. I bet you was like blowing his phone up and he's like, bro, like I'm in surgery. Like I can't answer.
He's like, told him I'm in the waiting room. Probably told him a story about the Buddhist monk again, all in text, real long.
Coach,
it's like, Dak, I've heard it. Hey, I've heard it.
Hey, have you guys seen that video? I think it was WFAA, but someone had like a video of him like showing up at the hospital, and as soon as they take him off on the stretcher, like he's holding the phone, like he's watching the Cowboys game on his phone. I mean, I'm not used to this because I never worked on the TV side, but they mobilize quickly over like breaking news, and so clearly they had someone ready to go to whatever hospital it was that he was going. They must have known, you know, what hospital he was going to be, and it's very short shot. It's like maybe, you know, I don't know, 15 seconds or whatever, but they have him, like, he gets off of the back of the ambulance. There is a doctor there who's in scrubs and has, like, a Cowboys mask, and he, like, gives him, like, a fist pound or whatever, and he's, like, got the phone up, and he's just, like, he does not even seem bothered by the injury. Like, it still amazes me that he wasn't in a lot more pain just by how disgusting that injury was. But, yeah, he was, like, watching the game on his phone.
Dak, we've got to operate.
He's like, Andy.
If Zerline doinks this thing, we got to operate. So you better hope this goes in. And I'll be damned, he nearly doinked it.
What were you gonna
say,
Taylor?
And what's that kicker's name again? You know, like they barely know each other. Yeah. he's like, what's Dan Bailey doing? Oh, wait, no, there's a new guy.
Go Kai.
Go Kai.
Why do Kai? Comes back to Kai.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Well, Taylor, now that you're here, I should tell you, you now join the ranks of Mike Reiner, Kelsey Charles, Mike Pelucci, Saad Youssef, and Mike Reiner again in our weekly picks. We always pick the game, just to see. In first place is Kent Garrison, who's 5-0, much like the Seattle Seahawks. At 4-1 is me, and then 3-2 is John, and 3-2 is our guest picks. Taylor, you're up first. Pick the game. Give us a score just for fun. And let us know who you think's going to win.
Man, you know, I don't really have to be a homer anymore. So I actually think that the Cowboys are going to lose this one. And I think it's going to actually be a low-scoring game compared to all the other ones. Yeah, I think it's going to be – they lose 17-21. It's, you know, they kind of come out with a hot start and everyone's like, oh, Andy's got it still. And then I think that you start to see just them get chipped away a little bit. And it's just, it's a close one. They don't win this time.
Let's go to John at 3-2. Kent's going to go last this week because he's 5-0.
I'm nervous right now because, first of all, I don't want to eat that hot sauce. So, I can't lose the guest pickers here. I'm going Cardinals too. 24-21 Cardinals win.
24-21 AZ. Now have a little hope. Come on, y'all.
I'm looking out for myself right now, okay? I'm playing the game against I can't fall behind here and risk having to eat or whatever. Are we doing that chip or are we doing the hot sauce out of the bottle?
You do the last dab from Hot Ones. I have the sauce right here on my desk, and I'm gonna send it to your house, and we're gonna be on Zoom here, and you do the little last dab, and then we'll record the episode, and we'll see how how you can get through the episode having just had the ghost pepper hot sauce. So
crying.
Cowboys pass rush has made some strides last week. It was good to kind of see them get it in gear a little bit, have some pressure. The Cardinals have tightened up their offensive line. Through five games last year, they'd given up 21 sacks. Through five games this year, they've only given up 8. So it was really an emphasis for Kyler was to, hey, get rid of the ball, don't take sacks, things like that. And they've added to the offensive line a little bit to try to fix that. I still think the Cowboys' pass rush is going to give us a performance like they did last week. And I think we're about to see a little bit of improvement on defense. A little bit of buy-in happening as we move into month two of the new scheme.
Oh, a little buy-in. Okay.
A little buy-in, you know, finally. I will say this. I do think Jalen's game was a bit of an anomaly. Aside from the random stick it to Dallas, flea flickers that Garrett was rolling out, I think it was a lot of, well, I know this playbook. I'll be in the right position to make plays. I do think that came into play. If you get Leighton back, and I don't love him coming back this early, quite frankly, with the neck injury. And you get Cheeto back, I feel a little bit better about this. So I'm going Cowboys. As long as they do what they need to do, and that is come out and throw, because Arizona cannot help you. And Chandler Jones is hurt and ain't playing. Like, I just sling it and get ahead and take care of the ball. I'm going Cowboys. And I'm going 31. I'm going 24. It's going to be a close one. 31-24 Cowboys. No. I need to give the Cardinals more points for this defense. Hold on. Cowboys 34.
The over-under is 55.
Cowboys 34. Cardinals 28.
I can see that.
Oh, this is tough.
This is a tough one, right?
This is tough. Do I take what KT picks so that if he loses and I lose, we're both it's the same? Same score. Do I go to the opposite? And if he loses and I win, I may run away with this thing, you know?
Week six, it's too early for strategy, man. Just go with your heart.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
I just...
No, it's not.
That's the, never John, too early.
John's doing strategy.
No. Yeah, there's never too early for
I don't
this.
Want blonde hair, war. So I'm gonna go with... Shoot, I'll go with my gut instinct. I don't care. I'm not going to play strategy. I'm going to go Cardinals, I think that pretty good point that Taylor made earlier might be a little overlooked. Surely not overlooked. It's going to be mentioned 5,000 times on the broadcast, I'm sure. But the fact that Kyler has played in this stadium at a high level at some big moments of his life before, I think he's not going to be fazed by this situation at all. And this Cowboys defense does not do well with mobile quarterbacks who have an arm. And Kyler Murray sure does. And with the amount of weapons that they have and the way this defense is, I'm slight edging the Cardinals on this one, just because it's such an emotional transition into Andy Dalton. I think it might take a little bit. I think they'll be fine in the end. I think they'll still win this division, but it might take a little bit longer than we expect. So I'll take Arizona here, 27-24.
All right.
I like it, Kent. I like it.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's
we're
see
really
we
starting
here.
To fall off the ship here. Yeah. We're starting to go. We're starting to go against the Cowboys more and more here. So
I mean, what?
It's 2020,
dude. Like, yeah, the freaking Giants almost beat them last week. So yeah, I mean, like, I can't.
No, that's completely legitimate.
They're about to turn up. Y'all ain't ready for this.
My last game working was the Browns. Obviously, great memes. And you know, I was walking in with Mickey, who was very kind to me. Said some great kind words to me, and he said, you know, I said, Mickey, are they going to win today? And he goes, well, they better. And I said, well, what happens if they lose?
He goes, fine win.
Well, they're not very good. And so, I mean, Mickey said it. Now,
there's that.
He's also picking the Cowboys this week. But, you know, he said
unlike
it that day.
What week?
What? Has he ever gone against him?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Kidding. We'll find out.
Oh. Love that guy.
That made me think of something, and you bringing up that story just totally took my mind off whatever I was going to say. That's good.
Excellent.
Taylor, what's before we end this, since you are, you know, again, Taylor did leave Cowboys.com this past, you know, month or so, but what's like one big story that sticks out to you from covering the Cowboys, funny or something like that, that you can share with the listener, like a behind the scenes kind of nugget.
And then after that, hold that thought. After that, who in the organization did you dislike?
Yeah, who
the
do you
most?
Hate the most? And
yes.
No one, they're not
you guys
listening.
Know Dave Hellman.
Other than Hellman, yeah, we all hate Hellman. Okay, it's got to be other than Hellman.
Yeah, it's a hate Hellman club. Honestly, Kent is a main part of this story, and I'm not just saying that to like boost his ego, but Kent and I were very tight while we worked there, and the biggest story that sticks out to me is from the 2015 season, and it's when they were just absolutely not good, and they go and they have a bye weekend, and everyone's kind of like, well, they'll turn it around, like, you know, Matt Castle debut, et cetera, et cetera. So Garrett has this hair idea to go to the 9/11 museum, and we fly out on Friday instead of a normal Saturday flying out. And at the last minute, literally like last minute, I get a call and they're like, hey, you're on the plane. You're going up with them. Because most everybody from the .com side was coming in on Saturday. So me, Kent, Shannon, I think Jeremiah, that was it, who went ahead early. And, you know, you really didn't know what to expect because I just had never been to the museum myself. And I think it was one of the most like emotional, intimate, non-exploited times that I've been around the Cowboys. And I don't say that as a knock to them, but it, you know, most things that they do, they're broadcasted for all to see. And even when it's not like, you know, about it, AKA Hall of Fame party, because that's probably number two, which was amazing.
That was
That was amazing. That was the best night. But that night was so incredibly special because it just meant so much being at the museum. Kind of the emotions of, you know, everything. And then I think it was just such a fun time because there was no cameras. I mean, Kent did make a video of it, but it was very true to us. And I think he was the only one who could make a video about it. So I think that's probably my best story and memory that I hold on to, is that dinner we had at the top of one twin, or what do they call it now? One tower. It was
one,
awesome.
One World Trade Center. And then Christian Michael didn't wear a suit, and then he got cut like the next day.
Did Jason Garrett say anything at that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He gave a speech. I did a video like it literally has the speech in there. Like it might be on the Cowboys website still. I mean, this
that type of stuff is literally what I think is Jason Garrett is the best.
Like I have it. I have it in my personal files.
Unreal. Jason Garrett is the man. It was amazing.
He gave it. It was about like
rising up.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was about overcoming adversity. It was, you know, it was about here's why we're here. Here's why I'm taking you guys here, because these people didn't just. It was about the rebuilding of the tower, and it was like they didn't just rebuild the towers. They did it bigger and better than before. They came back stronger than before. And it was, of course, you can imagine where Jason Garrett took that.
There's a lot of things about him that bothered me over the years, like just covering the team, because obviously his job was to not allow us to know everything that was going on. So there's definitely some times where he bothered me, but there's a lot of things that he did over the years and said that I saw that where I was like, man, that's really motivating. Like most people don't think like that. Yeah. Absolutely. Like things that you just don't expect, like you don't see in your everyday life that I'll always remember that. That's why I do think that it was interesting that he was, you know, at that game and right there. And everything about him coming out there when Dak was out there, completely genuine. Like they were so are close in that. I mean, the way he went up to him before the game started when Dak was warming up and stuff like that. It was that whole game is going to be very memorable for me.
Yeah, and I think the second one, obviously, being Hall of Fame party. I mean,
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, that was the best night. I mean, you're just standing there, and you're like, there's every Hall of Fame football player.
Yeah, that was nuts.
And is in this tent. There's Warren Buffett. There's, like, you know, every celebrity that was there this weekend. You know, it was just... It was a normal Friday night for me, but for some, I think it was pretty special.
For some, they'll never others, forget.
For others, like, God bless them. But, like, for me, average Wednesday. I'm doing that after this.
Yeah, I think it was on the All or Nothing 2017 Amazon show that they have some footage from that party if you want to go back and watch that. But yeah, those are great memories, Tay. And one other memory from that New York game is Dwayne Harris returning a kickoff or a punt for a touchdown against us in that game for the Giants. But yeah, wow, what a time for the Cowboys right now. And KT, I guess we'll be back Tuesday morning with an episode.
Tuesday morning. And make sure you just keep following The Athletic. I highly recommend the Jamie Newberg and Levi Weaver piece on the Rangers from 10 years ago and the Cliff Lee deal. That was incredible. John, we got our Bruce Gradkowski piece coming tomorrow on Andy Dalton. That'll get me hyped for the Cowboys' big win on Monday night coming up.
I'm telling you, man, even if he didn't play with Andy, he's interesting to talk to because – so what he does for Pro Football Focus is he's the guy that grades all the quarterbacks. And so – every weekend, he has to watch every single quarterback throw. So he has to get the all-22, all cut-ups, and watch every single one and grade every single quarterback. So it's like, this isn't like some guy that just is a former teammate that now he, you know, just golfs every day. Like, he's still watching film on every quarterback every weekend. And so, yeah, no, he had some really good insight about not just playing with Andy, but then what he expects of him with this group of receivers and what the Cowboys have.
Sweet. Yeah, that's where I tell you that my next career now is I'm doing that, but for special teams players.
Okay.
Also, 22. It's the long snapper for me. Yeah.
Could you track all these?
Yeah, you're going to be a beat writer that only exclusively covers punting and kicking.
Could you track all these punting and kicking content for me? From Tay.
What? She has a different long snapper on her show once a week.
What would the name be? What would the name be, last thing? What would the name be of that show?
The podcast?
Yeah.
No, something. Lettuce Sewer has to be in there somewhere.
It has to be like Bend and Snap. I don't know.
What? I don't know, man. I would have said that.
Leave on. Come on.
That's hilarious. Bend and Snap. I actually think that would be the title, and it would be like... But it would be like LP doing the movement.
Unfair catch.
Let's just stay as far away from LP as humanly possible. That'd be better.
By the way,
all right.
Sorry for taking this so off the wheels.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's all right. Well, thanks, guys. I'm sure I'll never be back on. Appreciate you.
Thanks for coming, Tay. This was fun.
Yeah, appreciate thank it. You for coming on.
Tay, what?
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, David Moore, too.
For Taylor Stern, for Father John Machado, I've got a question for you, Tony. For your producer, Kent Garrison, I'm Kevin KT Turner. We'll talk to you on Tuesday morning after the Cowboys beat the Cardinals on the next episode of About Them Cowboys. I'm right. They're going to win.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.